Two little mice fell in a bucket of cream. The first mouse quickly gave up and drowned. The second mouse wouldn't quit. He struggled so hard that eventually he churned that cream into butter and crawled out. Gentlemen, as of this moment, I am that second mouse.
Production, don't you? Miriam Tazi's like, what's up?
It's pretty impressive.
On the fly.
Yeah. So you weren't prepared.
Wasn't prepared.
We're prepared.
Wasn't prepared at all.
Well, you did good.
That's how I do it. So welcome to the program. Miriam Tazi, what's happening?
What's up, Malcolm Riddle?
Let's get this volume adjusted. Why don't you get that mic a little closer to you? There you go. Got a special guest in there. Special man in our life.
Yo.
My man, Brandon Alter, is back. You can be a little bit more lively than that, can't you? Just a yo?
I mean, it's good to be back.
Here
it's
you
good
go.
To be back.
A little hot right there. Let's turn that down a bit.
Let's lower the volume, please. I don't want to hear my voice that
You're
loud.
You're enthusiastic. That's good.
He's a good guy. He's back for the kill. And yes, welcome to another program, everyone. Hold on, Brandon. Mm. I see you gearing up. Saw your little jaws getting ready to... Did you see that? It was getting ready to cut loose. This guy is the real deal.
Wiggles like a cat about to jump, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, no. Just running. I mean, it's been a busy week. Huh?
Yeah, for you especially.
Being pulled from every which way and loose.
What were you doing?
Running around. So we had Adam Carolla come in town. You guys, listeners, have heard me talk about that. For those of you tuning in for this episode of American Riddle, just a recap of this week. Yes, Adam Carolla came in town and... yeah, it was exciting. It was fun. It was thrilling. I wish you could have been there, Brandon.
Some people have familial obligations and work obligations, and both of those are fucking lame, and that's what happened.
And you had to be working out in a gym, too, right?
Well, yeah.
Do some push-ups.
Mean, you don't get this Lou Ferrigno-esque form without some work.
That's what's up. Turn that down for a minute so I can think. I don't need a soundtrack. So, yeah, we were all over the place. Adam Carolla, as you guys know, podcast extraordinaire, movie star, television star, radio star, you know, the whole nine. I don't have to tell you. But yeah, came to town and I've been going nonstop ever since. So what are you coming down when? Tuesday, I think? Tuesday, Wednesday, and today's what, Thursday, I guess?
Yeah.
And
should've
this is a broadcast
gotten,
Friday.
Should have gotten to do some promotions on this podcast.
No, man, it was.
He was really busy.
A little premature for that right now.
All right, man. I'm just looking out for you.
No, what did we start on? I can't remember. It's just so much was going on. Tuesday we did, I can't remember. What did we do? I know we did the bottle signing yesterday.
Book signing.
The book signing. Book signing. Yeah, that's right. We had a book signing for President Meem. That was fun. That was exciting. Because I guess, you know, I'm no writer, no reader for that matter. So he's going on a U.S. tour of President Me. You've read it, Brandon?
I'm a little into it. I got through Bald Brian's book actually a lot more quickly.
Yeah.
Even though it was longer. But this one, it's funny. I get like a chapter down like when I can.
Yeah. I picked up a copy. My son, my mother, Miriam was present. So, we had the whole crew present. Carolla came out. He did some bits, some Q&A. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Interaction with the crowd and signed some books. It's amazing because you can learn so much from someone like him. And I've said this before on the podcast and outside. You know, when you're around certain people, there's certain people you want to surround yourself with. And you watch how they move, how they handle themselves, how they do business.
Successful people. You want to, reproduce what they're doing.
Yeah, you kind of absorb their energy and kind of follow their path. So for me, it was a learning experience to see how he multitasks. I don't know if you spent enough time watching Miriam behind closed doors or not, but he was doing a lot of multitasking with his assistant, Matt Fondelier. And Matt's really cool guy. He's got his own podcast as well.
Did you ever see him take a dump?
No. He's referring, for those of you listening, Brandon is referring to Matt's nickname that Adam gave him called Matt the Porcelain Punisher.
Yeah.
Fondelier.
He gets on the podcast once in a while.
But I don't call him the Porcelain Punisher or anything like that.
You gotta show respect, yeah.
Plus, Matt, I mean, he gives me access. Like, you know, he's very, very, very nice, very generous, and that's responsive to all my emails and correspondence and all that good stuff. So
yeah, it seems like he has a really good team around him.
He has a great team.
Yeah.
But to watch them multitask watch Adam multitask, because he's thinking, and as he's doing something, he's thinking. So we were at the bottle signing, the Mangaria bottle signing in McLean, and he was signing bottles, of course, interacting with the crowd, and at the same time, he was putting together bits for that night's comedy show in Richmond. And I could see his mind working, and he was talking to Matt every few seconds in between a photograph. He would tell Matt to look this up, pull this file down, pull this down. So he was working as he was working the room. And to bear witness to it later on that evening, of course, I was at the comedy show down in Richmond, which was a whole nother story, getting from, this area. It's basically, for those of you listening, if you're listening and you live in Cameroon or somewhere,
I hope you don't live in Cameroon.
This,
it's not good there.
It's fine there. What are you talking about?
This place is, hold on, guys. This place is a mecca of traffic. So, it's a two-plus-hour drive. But, lost my train of thought for a minute. What was I talking about?
Cameroon.
No.
The multitasking.
The multitasking, yeah. And just the traffic and how bad it is, just the whole you were talking about.
I think I was going somewhere with it. But, just the interaction between those two and seeing how they bounce things off. And then, that's where I was going with it. Asking him to, pull this, pull that, give this person a call. And then see it, come to fruition live on stage at the comedy show.
That's impressive.
I was able to see everything behind and then actually see it come to life right there on stage. And his stand-up comedy is sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, his stand-up, all observational humor and makes... at the time when he's putting it together, I'm sure it doesn't make sense. He had a bit where he's talking to his wife in this down by his house when he comes down the hill. There's a picture of a mailbox. And on that mailbox, the big blue mailbox, is a picture of a penis, a cock. And there. And he's, this is my world that I live in. So he told his wife to take a picture. She was like, I'm not taking a picture. Why do you want to take a picture of a cock? Take a picture of the cock. Okay? Take a picture of the cock on the mailbox. Why do you want me to take a picture of the mailbox with the cock on it? And he's trying to explain to her, just take the picture. Why are you arguing with me? Take a picture. And she responds, what type of fucking scrapbooking are you into? So it was a funny bit exchange between him and his wife. And of course he delivers it much better than I did, but, he's got some, a collection of just photos and things that he notices throughout the day, and he'll take pictures of them and then, put them all together, string them. And they're very funny.
Is he podcasting as well while he's here?
Yeah. No, not here. He actually, what he does is since he's on the book tour and, juggling so many other things, Mangaria events, what he's doing. And I think he just finished Wrapped Road Hard.
He did, yeah.
Damn.
And he shot that so fast. I've never heard of a movie like rapping like in like a few weeks or something. That's
a lot of them
like.
Do. A lot of them, unless it's some major CGI Peter Jackson-esque.
Well, that's a lot of like, I'm talking about like, that's like post, after the shoot, you do all that.
And that goes to my point. When his camp put something together. They did the Paul Newman documentary. They did the Road Hard film. They did the book. He put the book together in a year.
Yeah.
Okay. While making two movies, still in full production of Mangaria, 5-day-a-week podcast. And
show.
Yeah.
Catch a contractor.
Yeah, and catch a contractor, which was renewed. So that right there is a testament of someone that's actually a doer.
Yeah.
And to watch that, to actually watch it in person, and also as a listener, it's quite rewarding. And most, you know, and also to be a spoke in the wheel, part of the ecosystem, should I say. How's that sound?
Yeah. Man. Looking at me did you get a lot of stuff, like, you know, through osmosis, just kind of standing around?
Yeah. That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, man, I got you.
That's what I was went through. This whole speech was about. What's wrong with you?
Summing it up.
What you guys? You hear this? You see this guy? Why are you looking at me like that? What, do I got sweat on my face or something? Huh?
It's good to see you. It's good to see you.
Oh, man, that's not really for that. No, I appreciate it. That's for phones.
That's gross.
Other people's mouth. I'm making reference to a...
It's a rag.
It's a rag for wiping your phone to buff it out. But God knows what's on there. So, I'm not going to put it on my face, Mariam Tazi.
That's gross.
To answer your question, Mariam, he recorded like four episodes before he came to Virginia. And there are a couple live shows, and then a couple few in a studio. And I talked to Matt before he left. He goes, yeah, we're headed back. We've got to go Illinois and a few other places. Well. And then they get a little break from Memorial Day, and then they'll pound out four or five episodes, and then they got to travel again. I think it's like one more last leg of the tour. So then he'll be back to a regular schedule. But so, yes, to witness that, it's especially in a position where I'm at in my life, and I've complained about it on a podcast, where sometimes I think I'm around non-doers. You know what I mean? People who don't want to do. People who always want to question. People who always just don't want to do. And it drives me fucking crazy. I mean, I'm literally going insane over this. So when I'm around people that know how to do, and not only that, they're juggling. You know what I mean? They're juggling multiple. It's not because they have money or anything like that. No, it's because they want to get shit done.
Yeah, they got to drive.
They're fucking adults, man, that want to get things done. And the wine, just take the wine business for a second, okay? Just indulge me, but take the wine business for a second.
Yeah.
Mariam Tazi, you've heard me bitch about this more than wine.
I don't think ever. Do you even drink wine?
So if I need anything from any distributor when it comes to getting Mangria or getting an answer, you shoot an email. Usually you get a response, correct?
Yes.
Sometimes you do.
Well, money's involved.
It's supposed
involved,
to be an exchange.
Brandon, you just hit a key point. Money is involved. Money is involved. Yeah. And that being said, Mangria is a product. Now, granted, it is not. This is an Opus One, okay? This isn't a first growth Bordeaux. It is a fun cocktail designed for that purpose, to have fun with, to bang it out, get drunk. It gets to the point. That's why Adam designed it. The beauty of this product is, you've got a built-in audience. You've got a customer database that's millions of people. You're talking a loyal following that wherever this man says go to buy something online or to go to this business, they do it. They show up at the shows. For Christ's sake, we drove 3 hours yesterday just to get to the venue to watch him do stand-up.
And it's a wide swath. You know, it's not just like one niche or another. It's sort of like a combination of a lot of different like groups of people that all listen.
So, God, that tastes good.
You hit them all, man. You hit them all.
So, when I'm doing stuff with promos in the wine business, and there are other wineries that I do business with, and I'm trying to get answers. The only reason I'm trying to get answers is, as Brandon pointed out, to make money for everyone involved.
Yeah.
I mean, is it that difficult? Does it have to be?
Obviously not.
Is it? I mean, I can't figure it out because, these guys, everyone's based somewhere. I don't care if it's, across the pond. I don't care if it's here in the U.S., California. It could be anywhere, Virginia wine, wherever. But you would think I was climbing a hill of feathers to get an answer from some of these cats. And all I'm trying to do is make the money. When I go into a wine shop and say, and I'm pitching Mangria, some people get it, some people don't. They don't get Adam Carolla. They may not even get his comedy, and they do know who he is.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you just put these two cases on your shelf, someone's going to come knocking and buy them.
Well, yeah, they'll find out that it exists because he has a a base of fans. That
so
will
why
look
wouldn't
for
you
it.
Buy yeah. them? Why wouldn't you? I always get, oh, it's a sangria. It's a sangria. We have cheaper sangrias. You have cheaper sangria. Yeah, I understand you have cheaper sangrias, but does your sangria have a Twitter database of 500,000 people on it? Does it get 5 yeah. million downloads
and,
a day?
And guess what? Once your store carries it, and I've seen this, like the Facebook or his Twitter will actually like tweet out or post on Facebook in the status, like these stores now carry Mangria. Oh, yeah. And then
right after
publicity.
Too.
There you yeah. go.
I get emails daily now from people in Maryland, West Virginia, D.C., where they can get it. They're actually driving from the D.C., Maryland area oh, yeah. into
it's
Vienna.
That's a smart idea just because just social network basically is mm-hmm. selling it on its own.
So why wouldn't you carry it? But I don't really have frustration for the people that say no, because once someone
they'll
says
get it,
once someone eventually. Once one store or restaurant says no, I go and I sell to two or three other people.
Exactly.
It's not personal. I don't take that part personal. Where I do take it personal is when I'm dealing with other organizations, and they may not have the fame, but they do have the brand recognition in Northern Virginia and D.C., and they just don't want to get their act together. I mean, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out why you wouldn't want your product on the shelf of some of the top wine shops in the area or some of the best restaurants in the area, but you want them to sit in a warehouse and turn to vinegar.
Oh, if you've already got the – it's produced already, that's funny. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't – like, sometimes people don't want to sell because they're like, oh, well, got to – ramp up production or something like that.
I don't know. I have no idea why. I just think some people like the idea of doing something and they think they're doing something, but they're not doing anything.
They're not. It's all talk, no action.
Well, it's funny when there's just basically there's money on the table and they're not taking it.
They don't always, want it. They don't want it, man. Yeah. It drives me crazy. It's like it's insanity on so many different levels, and it's very frustrating. Especially when I can deal with something that has very little recognition or respect in the wine game, brand new, less than 3 weeks old, well, maybe 4 weeks now, old in this market. And every day I go out, I sell it, talking about Mangria.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, it's not... It drives me so crazy because I'm like, are we dealing with adults here? I mean, am I just dealing with people who talk? You know what I mean? We got to wait till next week. You know how many emails I fucking get that say I have to wait till next week, or this person's out of town, or it's just nothing, just dead space, nothing for a couple days, you know? And then I can send an email to Mangria, I can send an email to Matt Fondelier, I can send an email to Mike August, and automatically they send me a right back with an answer. Either you can do it or you can't. Either you want to do it or you fucking can't. Just tell me you can't do it or yeah. we're not in the position to do it. Yeah. It's okay. I understand. I'll understand. I'm not going to, you know, I don't take it personal that way. I take it personal when you lead me on. You just lead me on.
It's personal and it's business. It's
stupid.
What
the fuck, man? Yeah. I mean, you just want to get dressed up every day and pretend you're doing something, or do you actually want to fucking do it? Mm. And you want to deal with someone who knows how to do it. Yeah. My God, I'm going nuts. And then on top of that, you know, I'm juggling multiple jobs, okay? So again, I'm still at three fucking jobs, right? All of them have their pluses. Everything has its minus. But there's some shit. I go to one of my jobs, man, and I tell you, I don't know what fucking world I'm dealing in when it comes to... Speaking of adults, am I dealing with adults? Are we grooming adults to do adult shit, which is go out and make money and earn? Or are we grooming kids? Fucking I go to work. And again, you guys don't have to comment on this if you don't want. But I don't give a shit. Because you go into work and there's games, there's fucking teams named after superheroes. There's goddamn, what do you call it, coloring books and shit. I don't even know where I'm fucking living, man, all right? And then you're going to a meeting and they tap dance around the subjects, and at the end of the day, they just want to hit sales. Well, motherfucker, why don't you tell me we need to hit the fucking mark in the beginning of the goddamn meeting? Instead of giving me a goddamn crayon to color a damn book. Are you out of your fucking mind? What are we grooming here? That That's the shit I'm talking about.
Not men.
Men. We're here to...
You're people that are going to save the world.
The whole point of any institute is to groom you to become better. You go to school to groom you to go to the next stage.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? It's a process of developing.
You go to school to have a piece of paper so people pay you more.
But that's that's part of the illusion. But it teaches you to learn to be in the system, to put you in the system so you don't think outside of the box. So you're incorporated inside the box. That's what they want you to do. I just don't fucking get it, man.
Yeah, and also puts you in debt, so it keeps you.
I don't get it.
Boo school. That's what I say.
It depends on where you go to school. You know what I mean? There's different systems, you know, in different countries.
Well, school's just part of the deal. Just like working is part of the deal. It's just part of the machine.
Part of the deal. It should be paid for.
It's part of the machine.
You know what I mean?
Well, what I'm trying to say is it's part of the machine that keeps this country going, and you have to do something. But at the same time, you have to be able to think for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to act for yourself, and you have to be have to grow the fuck up at some time.
But you can't take a class on how to be independent.
That's the parents' job.
I think there's personal responsibility too. I wouldn't throw it all on parents.
Well, how the fuck are you going to learn in life if the people that you look up to aren't
genetics, man?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, there are some people that go out there in the world and they're just thrown out there like Conan and fucking, he's got to push the wheel around in a goddamn circle until he gets big and strong and then he's able
to beat the snake king.
Yeah, Thulsa Doom. He'll beat the shit out of Thulsa Doom. But the point I'm trying to make is...
Well,
like,
the movie.
Like
That's
me,
a
I'm
good
a,
movie.
I'm a parent, right? The thing that I try to instill in my son is to be independent, to think outside of that box or to become the box. You know what I mean?
And so people work inside of him.
Work with him.
Or
work with him. How's that? How about working with him?
I gotcha.
When we're forced to be a part of an or when we choose to be a part of an organization, whatever it is, wherever you, it could be the gas station, a post office, it could be for Walmart or anything. You would hope that your leadership, whomever it is, in the wine business, it could be the leadership or the distributor or the winery, but you would hope that they are guiding you along to become better, a better sales representative, to be a better representative of that brand. Mm-hmm. If you're working in retail, it's the same thing. Groom you, but don't go in fucking reverse and keep you stunted, I guess that's the right word, as a child by breaking out fucking coloring books and magic markers.
I don't know what you're referring to.
I don't understand who has time for that. That's the thing. It's like, aren't we here to work? So
I believe
have a lot of work to get done. So let's
work. My point is, what are we grooming? What are we grooming?
If you're train if you're, me if you're instead th- of grooming me for that.
If you're thinking about if you have a child and your child is out and playing. And this is a knock on video games or comic books, but if that's all they're fucking doing, what exactly are they getting prepared for in the world? Now, I don't have a problem with arts. I don't have a problem with science. I don't have a problem with sports. I just think that there should be a balance. And at the same time, Brandon, as you said, to be independent. If you're an independent thinker and let's say your child is gifted and they like to read. My son, he just got into comics. I don't know. It's like overnight.
I'm sorry about that.
And I don't have a problem with that. So what do I do? I'm not going to shoot him down and say, grow the fuck up or anything like that. I take him Wednesdays. We go to the local comic book store and I'll spend, 20, 30 minutes there. Let him browse around and buy a comic book, which costs $5 now.
Oh,
by the way.
Don't get me started. I will go on a rant that goes like an hour for how much it's bullshit.
A quarter? Or something.
When I was a kid, it was a quarter. Yeah.
It's a business, though. It is a business. And granted, within that business, you do have to have your knowledge base. So the comic book guys need to know comic book shit.
They do.
And do comic book
They're
stuff.
Comic small, yes.
You know what I mean? Yes.
A big part of the whole reason those stores exist is so you can go there and ask them for their opinions on what you think is good,
But at the end of the day, what do they want to do? They want to make money. Yeah. They want to flip comics.
That's true.
I went into the comic book store. I was telling Miriam this. They got a subscription. Subscription.
Yeah.
Well, it's not memberships. It's, you get you make sure that you get your books because they do sell out. And it's funny that they make them sell out.
Listen to this guy.
Yeah.
I went around the corner to look to see. It's right here. Let me show you.
But hold up. You'd ask your waiter what they, thought was good on the menu or something, wouldn't you? And they're just going to try and sell the thing with the biggest profit margin.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah. But what was cool about it, what I think was brilliant about from a business standpoint, was I walk. He shows me the room where all the membership or subscribers, I don't know what you call it, for the comics are.
The boxes.
300.
Yeah.
300. I think they have to, they're required to pay by at least $50 in comics a month or something like that.
You get a 10% discount too, which when comics are that expensive, a lot of people like it. I don't go to comic book stores anymore. I think they're fucking terrible, and I buy all mine digital. So there you go.
I got a problem with the digital thing, too.
There's digital comic books, too, now?
Yeah.
There's digital everything.
Yeah, I know.
It's more convenient.
But it's like I told my son this about that, speaking of the digital
thing. When you're busy, it's easier not to have to go to the the comic book store is never fucking near anything. So, like, it's just convenient when you work and, you know, you just don't have free time and you still want to read.
And that's the beauty of the comic world, which I was telling Miriam. I was like, you know, we should open up a comic book store. God damn.
I was like, get some money
in there. Every time I go in there, there's nothing but suits, executives.
Yeah.
Well,
nowadays,
hot chicks in there.
It's different than it used to be. When I was a kid, it was, you know, it's like you had the plague when you walked in the
comic store. Well, it's like tattoo parlors. Tattoo parlors, when I was a kid, like, it was like, you know, on the dark side of town, and very few people got tattoos. But now it's like, you know, everybody and their mother has,
it's like, oh, let's go take a trip and get my vagina pierced. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. It doesn't sound like a fun
everywhere.
Date to me.
Yeah, it's everyone's getting tattoos. The comic book store, though, was unique just because, like I told my son, speaking of the digital stuff, I was like, well, if you're going to buy, he did good on some tests or something, and, you know, so I...
Mazel tov.
Yeah, so, you know, you reward him, and of course you want to encourage what he's interested in. Yeah. You know, it could be anything, even his sports and stuff like that. I try to be as supportive as possible, but with the comics, you know, I tell him, you know, if you're going to spend, I think he bought something, Original Sin or something, some comic book.
Yeah.
And then he bought, as I said, I wasn't going to talk about comics.
I know when I brought up before, you're like, no, we're not doing it.
give you guys some behind the scenes. I said I wasn't going to talk about comics.
Original Sin, by the way.
It has
Marvel,
something to do with
the Marvel
book. It has something to do with independence and growing up.
Okay.
So that's why we've bled it into the conversation. And it's bleeding, let me tell you. It's painful for me.
At a certain point, you need to have him start buying. Like, that's how I ended up not buying many comics. My dad was like, you're going to pay for these. And around, like, the time in high school, comics are fucking, like, $3 or something like that. And they're just getting higher and higher at that point.
Yeah. Well, I told him, I said, if you're going to be investing in comics, you got to protect your investment. So you got to get the sleeves. You got to get...
You're making him a collector.
Well, I mean, if you end up spending, you know, to a child, if I spend anything $50 to $100, that's kind of an investment for me.
But, like, you go buy a John Grisham book for, like, $14 or something. You need to, you know, put that in Lucite and
well,
make
it depends.
Sure.
If it's a first edition and a first print, I always tell them, get the hardcover. Buy the hardcover, right, and then buy, if you can't afford to buy two, don't buy any. But if you're going to buy something, buy the hardcover and then buy the digital copy or the paperback. But the digital copy will be one that, you know, that you look at and you pal around with. The other one, you put away.
I can tell you what I do. I donate my comics to a charity that actually makes sure they get to sick kids in hospitals.
That's nice.
And I don't hold on. Well, just because at a certain point you have roommates that are like, could you please get these goddamn comic books off of, like, our public table? And I'm like, all right, I'll get rid of them all.
So, yeah, but that's a good way.
It is a good way.
But, I mean, let's say if it's something that's a collector's edition. Like, there was, I can't remember the name of it. It was some comic he bought. And it was 14. It was like a Daredevil, or it wasn't Daredevil. I don't know what
Jesus,
it was.
Man.
I don't know.
You don't know anything about it.
No, but damn, I can't remember that guy. It looked like Daredevil. I can't remember.
Could have been Daredevil.
No, it wasn't Daredevil.
Still a big deal.
Ben Affleck.
let's not talk about that though.
You know, I said, look, I'll get this comic for you. I said, you can either get two or you could get the one. I was like, but this looks like it was a different print and it was a collector, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, you got to start protecting this stuff. If you're going to invest in it and you're going to keep it for the long haul, then you need to, you know, protect it. Because I have
you got them long boxes and everything.
Well, I've got old comics like Spider-Man number one. I've got all these super old, but they weren't protected. They're gray now. They're kind of.
Yeah, they get yellow. Yeah. The paper, so paper it's not worth yellow. It. Yeah.
You know, I've watched comic book men, so they're not worth anything.
They're not. Yeah, you're right. But like generally, even the ones that are kept in like good condition,
keep up with
you don't know what's you don't know what's worth anything. Like immediately, you really don't know until like maybe 5-6 years later.
No, because I went out like on a quest to find the Gravity poster before Gravity even fucking came out. And I know I'm using fucking a lot, Miriam, and I said that I would scale back.
Yeah,
I would scale back.
Bob Saget over here.
And I would scale back, but I haven't said motherfucker.
So that's your replacement?
I have not said motherfucker once today.
Now you said
it
a couple
times. But I said, you know, offline to Miriam Tazi. Yeah, you know,
people are cursing in public a lot more now. Like, there's some dude throwing the N-word down in front of the store.
She didn't
say it
directly to me.
You know, when I was parking to go to the bottle signing, some dude on a Harley, like, told me to suck his dick for some reason. Like, right before I parked.
Goddamn.
Coming.
People
yeah,
just
it was
no
so
respect
rude.
Anymore.
He was trying
yeah.
to pull out, and I was actually stopping for him to pull out, and I guess I got too close, because he was just like, I don't know what he was yelling. Yeah, and then he just went off. And McLean. You know,
it's turning everybody into animals. There was some dude in a truck who came around the corner in the parking garage, and he like took up both lanes, and I got like I just lost it, and I flicked him off, and I usually don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't believe. I liken it to the Heisenberg syndrome. I don't believe that it's turning people into animals. People are animals. You are who you are regardless.
I can feel the
you
beast
I mean?
Inside me.
Yeah,
sometimes,
I mean,
yeah.
You are what you are. So what's inside of you? It's just a matter of time before it comes out. So
I wanted
you
to
give
rip
someone
his
the bird
off and destroy his Trans Am and
yeah, it's not
his face.
Don't take it personal. No. I mean, someone gave me the bird the other day and he fucking shook it at me.
Yeah,
like that.
Like it was gonna take you down with that.
He was really close, dude. Motherfucker ran the stop sign and he gave me the bird.
It's like, could you roll down your window for a second? I want to tell you to sit and spin.
And for a quick second, I thought about just whipping a U-turn. You know, but what's that going to do? Get you shot?
Exactly.
Or someone gets killed? It heats up, and doesn't even have to be that way.
In that moment, you want that confrontation because it will make you feel better for that moment. You know?
No. You need to. You need to relieve yourself of any anger or hate. Or even fear that you have. Yeah, just, yes, right. Find the peace in it.
Yeah.
And
so keep, angry.
Keep going.
No.
So angry.
Like, after those moments, I usually just, I'm like, why am I pissed off? It's stupid. And you just chill out. Just chill out.
It ain't worth it.
Relax.
Yeah. It's
get
not
some
worth
herbal
it.
Medicine.
It's not worth it. And again, you need to find, find the more positive people and surround yourself with them because
like people who are positive are like vampires though to like the non-positive people because like you put someone with a bad attitude in the way and then everybody just gets brought
down.
Yeah, but
you don't want
too
positive.
That's true. It is cancerous.
Well,
you don't want too.
Sometimes I like to as long as it's
you know
sincere.
I mean?
No, there can be too chipper.
I don't want no fucking high fives. Whoa.
As long as it's sincere.
It's not fake.
If it's fake,
because
I've known some fake people. I've known some real people when it comes to like the happy scale. And like the real people, I can handle because I'm not going to be that happy, but I'm not going to be pissed at them for being.
Yeah,
so
you
happy.
Can't hate on someone that's actually you can't hate on someone's happiness.
I just won't
though.
High five
like,
them.
I can.
If they're too chipper,
I can.
That's I get that.
I can
when
fucking
it's like,
hate on.
Yeah, you can. You I guess.
But you yeah. can. I don't know if something good happens.
I've broken
someone,
up with bitches because they're too fucking happy.
I don't think I've ever had that problem. They've been too miserable if they're with me.
Yeah, it's kind of a counterbalance because I'm pretty miserable.
The cancerous.
Yeah. So
it's contagious.
It is. Like every time I've had roommates,
bring people down, man.
Well, every time I've had roommates that have had like bad attitudes or just like, oh, I'm never gonna find anybody. I was doing like an Indian accent there. It wasn't very good. But that was one of my roommates in college, and he would always talk about how it was just. Shit was never going to work out for him. And, like, it was just annoying, and it made me upset
like,
and
if
depressed.
If something good happened to a friend of yours, you wouldn't be, like...
I'd be happy for them.
Yes.
It would
make... Not that many people are like that. A lot of
yeah,
people are just,
different.
Like, they get... Yeah, well, that
that's,
was my, kind of going
that's,
to my point.
Yeah, that's,
sorry, Miriam.
Yeah, but that's more...
He's shitting on
that's
your point.
Being,
I don't know what he's doing.
Just
I want other people's
being
happiness
courteous,
that I care... Yeah.
Courteous or being nice towards someone else... Being happy for them.
Yeah.
But not just being, hey, how are you guys
doing?
Yeah,
and I still like,
oh,
feel like...
God,
being,
I hate that.
Yeah.
When you know
but you
it's
still,
bullshit.
I feel like hating on someone other person's happiness.
That
that's what I meant.
Life.
Oh, I do that all the time, though. I mean, like,
I
in
like
certain...
people are too,
in
too
certain,
happy.
In certain work, you have to sort of present yourself in that way, though. You know? You have... Like, well, you're going to just be the dude who's down because...
Happy people
because
make me
want to
rob them. Make me want to just get them and mug them. You know what I mean?
Maybe
just
that's why I've been mugged
so
before.
They're just not happy
anymore. That might explain how I've been mugged before.
Just so they know. You know what I mean? Just so they know what the fuck they're dealing with. It's like I told you with the flip-flops and shit. You know what I mean?
You know what? But I was thinking about that. Yeah, okay, about the flip-flops. But you like girls in heels. But then what about them? How do they get away if something happens? They can't run in heels either. No.
That's where the male suitor comes along.
In fact, there's a lot of funny YouTube videos of women who can't walk in heels just kind of tripping on a little. It's pretty funny stuff.
I don't. For the record,
run in heels and you can't run in flip flops.
For the record, there are some women that can run in heels, but for the record, I don't mind women in flip flops. I don't mind. You know, women can
show off.
Women
twos.
Are women. Yes,
they got
yes.
a petty for a reason.
Women right? are more.
Is that the foot one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job.
Women are more. They're pretty. They're delicate. They're nice. Everything is nice about women.
It's like, you know, you watch Game of Thrones.
Men are men and they're gruff. They're rough around
the edges. Not these days. They're softer.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Not me and Malcolm. I don't want to get never be like that. We bump chests all the time.
Whatever. Like he has softer feet than most, probably.
I have very soft feet, actually. How'd you know that? Or did you
both
say
of you have soft feet?
I have like
what
delicate
is this?
Lady feet.
Yeah. I got tender feet.
Tender.
I think it's. I always wear socks. Even in sandals, right I wear word. Socks. That's what it is.
I know I got tender feet.
Because you never wear flip flops.
Oh, no, I do. But I put socks on. I wear socks.
Socks
on.
And flip flops?
You know
you're
it.
That dude?
Oh, I'm that
Brandon.
Dude.
Brandon, no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wear,
I guess
like,
it keeps your feet soft. I guess
or like
good.
Plaid shorts to the beach instead of swim trunks, too.
It is what it is. So, back to what I was saying. Independence, all that stuff. Great. Especially when it comes to children, let them have their mind. You know, definitely. You know, we're here to navigate them through life.
Everybody
same thing with
hobby.
Employees, coworkers, roommates, the whole nine. You know, friends that you have, you're here to lift them up and move them along. You're not supposed to take them back.
No.
In the backwards direction, and that's the point I was
agreed.
Trying to make.
Agreed.
With all that, you know what I mean?
Don't be a naysayer. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, I enjoy the people that I'm around. I enjoy the places where I am employed, but at the same time, there's a lot of shit that just makes me think sometimes, like, you know, what the fuck are we doing? But you gotta, you make a choice to be somewhere for the short term or the long term, and, you know, you gotta make some fucking moves.
Yeah.
And so being around Corolla his camp just shows me that things are possible.
You sound inspired.
Yeah,
that's what
good.
I was gonna say.
Very much so, yeah. The past, I think it's been a turnaround the past 4-ish weeks, 5 weeks, I think. I had a rough winter.
More
man.
Positive.
He's fucking
been
rough.
Everybody has
rough
the, winter. The winter downer, you know?
Not just that. It's just
being inside all the time. It's tough.
It's just sometimes you lose focus. And sometimes when you lose focus, you think you lose hope. And when you lose hope, you know, you start losing vision and you just,
you sound
I don't
like
know.
Yoda.
Shit just, Yoda, very Yoda-esque.
That was very Yoda kind of train of thought, yeah.
Wisdom.
I don't know. It's just, you know, I go through hills and valleys and, you know, I know there's a better way and a more logical way to do things. And I have to say I'm very thankful that I've got this small opportunity to work with him and his organization with Mark Clenard and Adam Carolla and
that's
Matt
awesome.
Fondelier and them. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, I go out every day. I go out. I swear to God, man. I joked about this at the – we had a sales meeting at the distributor in Chantilly, Virginia, Select Wines. And they were impressed that I've landed – in accounts that they wouldn't go after.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
So they were impressed with some of the prestigious wine shops that carry Mangria. I didn't go after the quick hits like the sports bars and stuff like that. And
which you could probably also get. Honestly.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. But it's like I told them, I don't have like 150 wineries that I used to interact with and have to sell. I got one winery. Mangria, one wine, and I got the red on one side and the white on the other, as if I had, you know, six shooters.
So,
and that's what I go out every day, and I sell it like my life depends
can
on.
Can I ask you if somebody was at the sales meeting?
Somebody
was Def Frat guy.
No. DFG wasn't there.
DFG was not there.
DFG is the ambassador. He's a local. Local comic, I guess. Well, he's a personality on the Adam Carolla Show from the radio days, K Rock, right.
And he was also
in the podcast.
Was he on Howard Stern sometimes too?
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah.
So DFG,
it's a character.
Yeah,
it's not really a deaf rat guy,
but he's deaf, isn't he?
Well, I don't know.
Partially, yeah. You don't know.
Oh,
that could be a whole bit.
That could.
I never thought about that.
I think it is a bit because he's constantly trying to sell his albums because his real name is the dude they're selling the albums of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's supposed to come to town though. We're going to do some events with him and bring him to town. So we'll see what happens.
That would be really cool. I would.
So yeah. that should be good. On another note, we have a film we want to review on this podcast. I had some other stuff I wanted to rant about, but I think I'm sweating over here. And
you blew your load.
Yeah, it happens. Blew it early.
Does that mean something else? Because we're talking show business talk right now. This is what you talk about on the radio. It's when you say your story too fast.
Oh.
Yeah.
You knew that, Miriam. Miriam was thinking something.
I don't know what she is thinking.
Something else. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, Miriam Tazi.
It's a little early. I shouldn't be thinking about that. Yeah. Actually, it doesn't matter what time it is.
Yeah, why does it matter what time it is? It's not booze.
That doesn't really matter when you're in the wine business either.
So is it breakfast wine?
We're going to review. Hold on, guys. Let's get back on track.
All right.
We're going to review Godzilla 2014, directed by, is that Gareth Edwards? Is that how you pronounce his name?
I believe that is his name.
Gareth Edwards, starring Elizabeth Olsen,
Bryan
Cranston. Yes.
Yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, famous for, yes.
Oh, it was Elizabeth Olsen. Okay.
I didn't really recognize.
I know. I for a while, I was like, is that Maggie Gyllenhaal? I couldn't tell.
Really?
Yeah.
So what I was trying to do is do the setup, but everybody was just bouncing off. So next time we do the, so we know we're on the same page. When I'm doing the setup of the film, I want to go through it and then do all this. And then we can comment.
You're asking questions about the names and it sort of got us wound up.
It's okay. That's fine. I just got to delegate a little bit and make sure we're all on the same page. Miriam's looking down. You got to be careful
I'm watching the big man right now.
She's sensitive today. I don't know.
What does that mean?
What are you going to say? I'm not even going to get started on this now.
But she did meet my mom.
Mazel tov. So it's official then.
My mom, yes. My mom is my mom is a big fan. My mother, let me turn you on
to this. She's like, you sound exactly like you.
Adam Carolla was 4 feet away. Miriam Tazi was there. Who do you think got the bigger applause?
Miriam was more of the celebrity
I was so touched. Yeah. I was really embarrassed.
Yeah. And same thing at the at the Mangria bottle signing. There are fans of the American Riddle podcast there.
Yeah, and but he's all like, Miriam Tazi's here. You always have to announce and shit. And
my father's listened
I'm
to the
so
podcast.
Shy. I'm like, what? Who? And he's like, he's here to see you. And I was like, who is this person?
There were a handful of people that were looking for you.
Oh.
And I was like, I think she's around the corner. You can miss her because she blends in and you wouldn't know her if you saw her.
She's clear. She's clear.
She's translucent.
She's very, gossamer almost. Yeah. She kind of glows when sunlight goes through.
Fuck you guys.
She is the translucent African. So.
Yeah. That is what it is.
So let's...
thanks for that.
Let's listen to a clip of Godzilla. And for anyone listening that has plans to see Godzilla, this is going to be a spoiler podcast, this part from here on. So if you don't want to know anything that happens, turn it off.
All right.
Turn it off, so... Let's listen to this clip. Oops.
I want to see my son. I want to know that he's all right. This guy knows.
He knows where he is. Muskuatokota. I want my son. And I want my bag. And this.
And I want to talk to somebody in charge, not you. No, not you. I'm done talking to you. All right?
Well, you're looking at me right now like I'm in a fish tank, right? That's fine, because I know what happened here. And you keep telling everybody that this place is a death zone, but it's not. You're lying. Because what's really happening is that you're hiding something out there. I'm right, aren't I?
That was good.
My wife died here! Something killed my wife! And I have a right to know! I deserve answers!
Yeah. Powerful scene.
It is, but it also shows exactly what was sort of wrong with the movie, too.
So in this scene, Bryan Cranston's character is flipping out because he was arrested for trespassing after a... I guess it was years after a nuclear
15 years,
meltdown.
It was 15 years
of an area in Japan, and which ultimately took the life of his wife, played by Juliette Binoche.
She looked pretty good. She looked pretty good.
So Juliette Binoche, Bryan Cranston.
Very good.
Two very respectable names that I was very much looking forward to. The
they were
film.
All over the trailers.
So the film, Brandon, give us a little history about Godzilla for anyone out there
that
doesn't know.
It was a series made by Toho, which is a very prestigious film studio, you know, for a very long time. I don't know if they were started back in the 40s, but I think Godzilla was made in like mid-50s, late-50s or something like that. It was huge. Everybody loved it. It was sort of like irreverent in some ways because you're watching a guy in a giant, you know, rubber suit and it looked pretty fake, but it was also just exciting and cool. And then America took it. We rebranded it. We got rid of, like, we basically changed the story and put some American actors in front and redubbed it and everything. And it was like an American reporter. And then it's huge in America. It like started the craze for the monster show.
Oh, I remember as a child just watching Godzilla, and I'd watch Ultraman. And just
Ultraman is good too. That's a different creator, a dude named Ishinomori. He's really cool.
And all of them are you know, along the same lines as, you know, science fiction.
Yeah.
Something about, you know, either giant robot or giant, you know, monsters.
It captures your sort of imagination for, like, the present and the future.
Yeah, kind of like those Saturday, you know, morning serials, films that they would show. And these went hand in hand as a child.
They made a lot of super crappy ones for a long time that they just kept pumping out.
And
no, it's not like they were bad, but it was like the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
It's like it's bad and good.
Yeah, but the Planet of the Apes movies weren't bad, and even now they hold up
well. I'm not saying anything bad about them, but like pulp like dramas
and the reason
like
why the Planet of the Apes, since you brought that up, starring Charlton Heston, you're talking, what was the Planet of the Apes when it came out? Was that the 70s or 60s?
Probably in the 60s. I don't
Planet
know that.
Of the Apes.
I'm not as into those as the Godzilla
yeah
movie.
So you're talking 1968, and yeah, you can still watch them, and the
especially the first one, but all of them are pretty fun.
They took, what they did was, with the Planet of the Apes in 1968, was they took serious subject matter and they integrated it with science fiction. And instead of trying to make something corny or, you know, like when you see Godzilla from back in the day, you know, even as a child, I knew, I was just like, I was mesmerized just because, you know, it's just... You know, I was a child.
You wanted to be the Asian kid.
I didn't know any. Well, I didn't know any better.
Headphones on.
No, I didn't know any better. So I was just like, all right. But with Planet of the Apes, you took a little bit more seriously. At least I did. I was like, whoa. You know, this made me think. And then, you know, as time progressed, so does my mind as an audience member. So
yeah,
when, let's say, King Kong came out, I think there was a King Kong in the 70s with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
When that came out.
That happened.
Even still, I enjoyed it. But as time progresses, so do you. Like, it's like your palate. You start to develop.
Oh, definitely.
Your mind does.
You go from sweet to bitter, kind of, what you enjoy.
So what happens is when this comes out, I think there was a 1998 Godzilla that came out.
Yeah, 98 with Broderick.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick, directed by Roland Emmerich, is that how you pronounce his name?
This was around the time when the Japanese hadn't really made a lot of Godzilla movies then. Like, they made a lot in the 90s, and they sort of took a, like, in the early 90s, and then took a break for a long time. So, like, America was like, we're going to take over the franchise and really bring it home.
So where I was going with this was the, as someone, a viewer that watches this, why, one of my biggest problems with Godzilla is that I think they started the film off and they took it serious, and then it started to kind of evolve into something that was less serious and almost corny in a way. And some people...
But it worked.
It does. It works as a summer blockbuster, but there are a lot of potholes in it that bothered me the whole time I was watching it. I was just irritated.
Well, if you're talking about the Matthew Broderick one, I don't think that one was funny at all. I think it was trying to be a lot more serious than the Japanese ones ever tried to be.
I don't even remember it. I have to watch it again. I don't even remember it. But I'm talking about the one that we saw together. All three of us went to go see Godzilla. And Yes, it is a great summer blockbuster. It's got the big explosions. It's got everything that you want. The buildings being torn down. We get it. We know how to do that.
Golden Gate Bridge being destroyed.
We know how to do that pretty well in Hollywood.
Yeah, it looked good. Yeah, that part
looked fantastic.
Good.
Yeah. I loved about it. I love the setup. I love the score, the musical score.
Oh, it was really good.
Sounded good.
Who did the music for this?
I don't know.
It was really good.
Everything was in place the way it should be the first 15 minutes of the film. Everything was it was spot on. And then it just started, for me, it started to disintegrate.
It sold you like a false sort of bill of goods because it made you think the acting was going to be this good, the whole movie.
Yes.
It made you think that everything was at this level, this first 15 minutes, was going to go everywhere. You're going to get the whole fucking thing. What?
You're right.
All
right. You're fucking right. That's why I love you. And we were sitting in the theater. You were eating your very super large...
I ate a lot of popcorn.
...buttered popcorn with your little hands just going in
I was
like
sharing
alien.
With you guys, and you stopped after the trailer started.
Well, you know, we saw how you were putting your fingers in your mouth. You know, the whole...
We kept falling. He kept dropping popcorn.
It
was dark.
Let you have. Plus, I brought apples, you know.
You did bring apples. The dude I was sitting next to kept giving you a glare. Like, what is this motherfucker... crinkling paper over there.
I need apples, man. You got health issues.
I know, you're getting the fiber in, and he wasn't having it. He kept like sort of going. What was it?
And
he did one
smell.
Of those like you know like people don't want to be impolite at the movies, so they do like.
And you smell the apples with every
packed.
Bite.
Yeah,
it was great. Yeah. And I did have some Jolly Ranchers and Starburst that I smuggled in.
Oh, good job!
I actually made Miriam smuggle them
in my purse
in case I shake her down.
Yeah, that was million.
Me, they'll throw under the jail. But she'll let her ride unless they realize she's a Tazi. And then we're all in trouble. We're all going to the clink.
Because Tazi rhymes with Stazi. What's happening?
Don't worry about that. But back to...
I found it out.
Look, back to Godzilla. Okay, so yes, you hit it. You hit the nail right on the head. I thought it was going to be this character-driven, you know, tour de force acting drama. Sci-fi infused a giant picture, but it was just a giant picture and sci-fi picture. It was just that big, just a big Hollywood production, and they pulled that off.
Yeah.
It's making money. It's going to continue to make money. They're already talking. They're already writing the sequel.
Well, good. I want more.
I didn't get, and this is a spoiler alert, people. As soon as Cranston's character died. Was killed. As soon as he was...
Kicked the bucket.
Yes. As soon as he was killed, I leaned over to Miriam, and what did I say?
You're like, it's going to be cheese. What is it? It's going to be cheesy from now on.
Yep. From here on, this is going to be cheese.
I think I had said, like, this was not a Bryan Cranston vehicle, but I
want,
the
should've
more,
been.
Well, the more I think about it, they sort of made it a vehicle for the shitty child actor that was basically... Like, and it shouldn't have been. It should have been a lot... Like, if they were going to kill Cranston, they should have then basically said, this movie's now about
really
Godzilla
happened.
Only.
Listen to this shit.
Yeah.
Is that you're hiding something out
Listen
there.
To his voice.
I'm right, aren't I?
No. They should have
My
told him to just tone it down.
Die here!
So that people would not be upset when he die.
Something killed my wife!
I mean, just that alone.
Yeah.
Those scenes
you
right there.
More panic, right?
Oh,
that
man.
Was the thing that was lacking.
Holy
in this
mackerel.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. The first time when Godzilla or any of it was like whatever this other thing was called. What did they call them? I don't know what they called
them. They called them the Mutos.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mutos. Yeah.
Bizarre.
Appeared, right? They were like, I don't know what they're praying mantis shaped things.
Like one of them was sort of like a. Actually, I think they were basically like mosquitoes because you had the big female and the small male, and one of them could fly. And,
yeah. And the people, I mean, never once. Outside of Cranston's character, maybe his son, but very few people, their makeup was perfect. There wasn't any real panic. No one was sweating. No one was dirty. When Godzilla came into Vegas, people were playing the games and stuff. Of course, they were unaware that all hell was breaking loose, but when it did, my point is this. We, as audience, as moviegoers, we're so educated now of what's happened post 9/11. So we know what a building looks like when it collapses. Okay?
Yeah.
We know the panic.
You see the
we
A-frames.
Know, we know when the tsunami hits or when what was it, down in New Orleans, when no one had any power, flooded out, how we were just animals and people were just looting and going crazy. There was none of that. Like, there was no real sheer panic. And I blame that on the director. The director's job is to bring that out of the act, from the lead actor all the way down to the, you know, to the ones with the bit parts. What do you call them? The
extras.
Extras, yeah. That's the point. That's the whole, that's the job of the director, is to bring that and show that. And I think it would have been a much better film had they done that. And had they kept Bryan Cranston and Juliette Binoche.
Juliette Binoche is in the first two minutes.
Yeah. I could not figure out.
It is the first 2 minutes of the movie. She's
so
gone.
Annoyed. I'm like, what? I was so excited. I'm like, yeah.
And she was like as she was more emotional than like 100 like people in the different other characters in the movie.
I was upset about that.
Can I talk about Ken Watanabe for a second?
Yeah, but he was horrible in it.
He was amazing.
He was horrible.
He was the conflicted scientist. He was always looking troubled.
This motherfucker.
He had this troubled look on his face the whole movie. He was always like this.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Exactly.
Every time somebody asked him to do something, he's like.
So you're trying to tell me he's making. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Brandon's making.
I mean, just go see the movie for Ken Watanabe.
So for those of you listening, you can't see like, facial expressions Brandon's making. Bewilderment.
He would turn.
Damn, I can't finish what I'm saying.
You keep pausing. I'm trying to talk about Ken Watanabe. All right.
Go ahead.
Then he would like just turn to the camera and be like, "Nature must fix nature."
Yeah, motherfucker. I thought he was Ra's al Ghul. You know what I mean?
I loved it.
I didn't because this is the reason why. This is the reason why. For that reason alone, you're trying to sell him to me as a scientist. Okay.
Yeah.
Cranston's character also a scientist, right?
Yeah.
They do science shit.
There are two different one was a nuclear engineer and one was a... Xenobiologist? I don't know.
Scientists do scientist shit, meaning they know how to add shit up, do the math, right? They can put one and one together. So you're trying to tell me that Ken Watanabe's character didn't know that Cranston kept coming in to the condemned area or the whatever they call it, the neutral zone or whatever you call it.
The
red zone, all those times, kept getting arrested, okay?
Yeah.
And then only at the end when the freaking monsters come, he says, "Let's talk to this guy. He's our only asset." Why didn't he think of this a year or two or within the 15-year period?
He didn't know he existed. They didn't know about each other, clearly. They showed you.
But he should have known.
I'm not trying to defend this story here.
Yeah.
I want to just talk about... I just want to talk about the Godzilla fight.
Why wouldn't he have known? Well, that's the problem. Those are the things us...
Those are the highlights of the movie.
Those are the issues that I have just because of an advanced moviegoer.
You're a critical thinker. It's not a crime to think critically.
Simple shit. They could have fixed easy in a rewrite. Okay. Another thing is, the whole Godzilla is here to bring balance to nature.
Well, you're trying to make fun of Ken Watanabe now?
But the point is this, man. The point is this. There's no balance. There's no balance. Have you ever seen a rat?
What's the balance? Because he's the predator.
Have you ever seen a rat?
I mean,
what do you do if you see a sewer rat
that's
big as long as this table and a tail that's about 13 to 15 inches long? Exactly.
He's the rat king.
Okay. Miriam just made a great point.
It's a balance.
Now, imagine if you see a lizard 200 feet tall.
I would freak out. I would not just be like, oh, look.
200 look at that. Feet tall.
Let me help the people.
The last thing you would think on this earth was this going to bring balance to anything. If you see a spider.
Well, you're not a scientist.
If you see a spider, right? Wrecking havoc. They're wrecking havoc over the Las Vegas and everywhere, San Francisco, and the buildings are coming down. You're not going to think peace. You're going to think kill this motherfucker. You see a spider, and what do you do when you see a spider or a fly? You swat it.
Well, yeah, the military was thinking that.
Exactly.
The scientists with a big
and even
heart.
Still, they just drove around in a boat.
He had a big heart.
Like, have you never seen the other Godzilla movies where he's basically a good guy?
No, I get it.
Godzilla.
But that's my point, that we are so advanced now that I know I'm not the only one that thinks
of course a giant lizard's not going to have any empathy for humans. It's a lizard. Part of its brain is all lizards.
That's the problem I had. I had a problem with the direction.
You needed to divorce yourself from logic when you watch.
I do quite a bit.
Yeah.
But to what you said earlier about the deception of the movie trailers, and what you thought was, yes, that, you know, bait and switch. That's not cool, man. Because I thought, I didn't know, and I didn't even know who the kid was. What's the actor's name that plays?
He's awful. Yeah.
Oh, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
But maybe one day he'll be a lot better. But and I don't know if we could blame this whole thing on the director or him or in general.
He was like a poor man's version of Tom Cruise. Yeah. You know, it was just, you know.
Well, Tom Cruise is getting up there in age, so you got to replace him.
Should have had Tom Cruise in it. It would have been a better film.
Well, we're going to hope we're going to talk about Edge of Tomorrow one day. We'll go see that. That'll be fun. Oh, yeah.
Yes, with Emily Blunt.
With Emily Blunt.
So, but overall, I thought if had I known that that Aaron, he's got three names, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Those are
was going to be in the film because I loved him in Kick-Ass. Yes.
Yeah. It was different. Yeah. It was a different.
He got way bulkier.
Yeah, he got big. He put on a little
pie. Yeah, he's only bigger.
He wanted to be like Tom Cruise or Channing Tatum.
Is that Channing.
Say his name?
Channing.
I like Channing better.
Man, I know Magic Mike's your favorite Blu-ray, so I don't even
Magic Mike is actually a good movie.
That was him, right?
Yeah. It's actually a very good movie. It also stars, what's the guy's name? He was in, what's the guy's name? He's really famous, blonde guy.
I never saw
Surfer guy, surfer dude guy.
Surfer dude.
He was in.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
Oh. He was in it. We got this, once you said surfer, I got it.
I can't remember his name, man. Podcastitis is creeping up on me. Overall, though, you're right. Godzilla, playing in theaters pretty much everywhere. You can't miss it. It's in theaters now. It is worth the price of admission. You do have to suspend disbelief in reality. And
no, it's not a Bryan Cranston movie. Unfortunately, it would have been better if it was.
And of course you'd have to because it's a... Yeah.
I'm glad you admit that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a giant lizard and giant insects. So, of course, going into it, you always suspend any logic that you have. But I did not... Maybe that was their point, was to do the bait and switch with the Bryan Cranston. And they knew that would be a draw because of Heisenberg. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
And that's extra money.
This is like the first big movie he's done.
Maybe that was part of the art and part of the plan. So to that, I say bravo. You know what I mean?
It probably was.
Oh, they made a ton of buku bucks. That's what they made.
Yeah. So
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. They got me.
Yeah,
damn
they got
it.
All
like,
all
they didn't make me like that other actor more, though. They made me like him a lot less because he was terrible.
The whole shebang, man. I was set with... when I didn't know Juliette Binoche was going to be in it.
I didn't know that either.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, we got a film here. I was excited. I ate some of your popcorn before your hands got in.
I noticed.
Then
you're very obsessed with cleanliness. I can tell.
It went downhill, man. It went downhill for me. But it is. It's you know. It still gets a. I gave it a partial thumbs up. But after I think about it, I still give it a thumbs up. So you guys can go check it out. I think this weekend we got to look forward to X-Men. What is it? The
Days of Future Past.
Yeah, so
comic book movies.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a bubble that's about to burst is what's happening because there's now going to be like nine different comic book TV shows coming out.
They're exploding the genre.
But it's a bubble that bursts every time. The genre bubble bursts. It's like too much horror, too much this,
but it may
too much
not,
comic
though,
books.
Because there's a lot of fanfare out there.
As a longtime comic reader, I know that comic bubbles burst all like in the 80s to the 90s. Comic book shops are everywhere, and now they're gone.
I'm hoping the Western comes
gone.
Back. I'm hoping that more Westerns come
Westerns out. Tried to come back in like the 90s, remember?
They did. You had Unforgiven.
And all that stuff. And then they didn't really get anything in, you know?
Well, we have...
Unforgiven was good, yeah.
We have, what's it, Seth MacFarlane. He's coming out with a Western comedy.
Yeah, but it'll probably be very Family Guy-ish, so not looking forward to it.
Really? You didn't like Ted?
Me either, that's right.
Ted was a lot like that, too. And believe me, I went in the complete right state of mind for Ted, and I still didn't enjoy it. I still didn't enjoy it.
Really?
The perfect frame of mind for it, and I hated it.
What's the perfect frame of mind?
I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great film. I watch it anytime it's on.
No, and the thing is, I'll probably get in that frame of mind again and watch the sequel when that comes out, and the Western and everything. But I just don't enjoy him that much. I don't think his sense of humor is all that great.
I like him. So,
you guys disagree on a lot of stuff.
We do. And this is what I'm thinking of. This is what I've been thinking. I haven't had time to actually share it with you because I've been so busy. But what I would like to do with you on this podcast I'd like to set up a more Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert-esque at the movies type production. So when we review films, because I think it's better that we don't agree.
Who's the dude on the Today Show? I want to be like him. Remember the guy who always
yourself.
Oh.
You'll be yourself.
You.
But it's a better...
He had the big afro and the mustache.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He looked like the Doritos man. Was that guy?
He was awesome.
He was awesome, but you'd have to grow a fro. If you want to physically look like him. Maybe put on about 190 pounds. You know?
I could put on some... He would always have like a really sick pun for like depressing movies or something. You're like, check that writing that he did before he put that in there? It's like... Hotel Rwanda, I wouldn't stay there again. I give it three stars on Yelp or something. It's like, oh my God, that's a movie about genocide, man. You made a hotel joke.
I don't know what his name was.
I don't know.
Gene Hackman. Wait, no. Gene something.
Gene Shalit?
Yeah.
Here's this mother. Yeah, this is Gene Shalit.
Gene something. I knew it.
Look at this guy. Yeah, let me find a picture.
We put a picture up
on with the mustache.
Put a picture
he's
up on
Facebook.
He's got
a serious mustache, and he's got the glasses like Miriam had when she was a kid.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Jeez,
I had a feeling those would come up at some point.
Good job.
Those were some serious focals you had, Miriam Tazi. It looks just like his, and he's got a bow tie.
Mine were not that color. Mine were red.
So yeah,
and better.
My cousin had the red ones too. Very very Sally Jesse Raphael-esque.
Yeah! Did you watch that? You used to watch the daytime talk shows.
I've watched everything. You know, I've got I've watched the whole shebang. But yeah, this Gene Shalit. Yeah, you don't want to look like
Jesse
this guy.
Raphael.
You just keep your look.
Yeah, man, I got
and
you.
We'll keep it on. But yes, that's what I want to incorporate. At least either bi-monthly or once a month, we can get you in and get you the fuck out.
Yeah.
But a little bit more focused. Then step up the production value of it. Maybe have a theme song.
Oh, could you do that? Could that happen?
At the movies. And we'll go around and when we go to the movies and then we can take a picture by the thing if we agree.
Do one of those, yeah.
We're going to take the thumbs up because I'm pretty much known for the thumbs up anyway and most of the pictures I take.
You know what? The two people that invented the thumbs up, thumbs down, they're dead now.
And I don't think they have a monopoly on the thumbs up.
Not to shit on, I think they're amazing. You know, Siskel and Ebert are amazing, but like they're dead now. So we can
take it. Pour a little bit out for my homies that aren't here.
They're amazing.
They are.
Like
big fans. I grew up on them because back when I was watching them, there was no cable.
I used to read everything Ebert would write. Like, he was just a genius when it came to, like, disseminating film and, like, scenes and everything.
Yeah,
he's a genius.
No, they both. I mean, I love Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. Big fan. So I think we'd do them an honor out of respect if we took the thumbs up. Huh? And the thumb never really took off after that. Like, Roper tried to do it, and I think it was Ebert and Roper. Never sounded right.
Although, is Roper the guy who's now currently in the... Sun Times, is he the guy running it now, or he got fired? Or?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know who's doing what. I don't.
There's no good reviewers anymore.
Well, there's a couple.
That's why you got to go to Rotten Tomatoes.
I follow Matt Cease. He runs he's the editor in chief of Roger Ebert's website. I'm not sure if it's publishing or not, as far as the newspaper goes, but he's got a good.
Yeah.
And he gave a glowing review on. Godzilla, but
a lot of people did. Yeah. It really before we saw the movie, everybody was raving about it, and I expected something very different because of that.
I didn't read anything of it. I just went based on one trailer that I saw, and that's it. And Bryan Cranston. And
yeah,
see,
that was what everybody
the trailer
talked
was
about.
The shit.
That was the worst thing I could do, I guess, because my head was stuck on Cranston and Heisenberg and Cranston and Heisenberg, and I even said it in the Heisenberg.
Yeah, you did.
I love Heisenberg.
You said it a lot.
I love Heisenberg, man. Love that guy. Love that character. And yeah, he was there.
Hank.
Hank. Yeah, motherfucker is the shit. Yeah, he killed Hank. I mean, what the fuck? Anyone who kills Hank. We killed Hank, man.
You don't know me, Hank.
Don't forget deserves answers, you know?
You're lying.
You know? I'll play this clip What's over
really
again.
Happening is that you're hiding something out there.
Listen to that. God damn, I love that guy.
But that was basically the trailer.
Corolla,
and that's what...
Adam Carolla did a bit last night, and he did a short film with Bryan Cranston.
He did.
I was so happy.
In promotion of the Road... Was it for Road Hard? The Kickstarter or whatever?
You saw it?
Well, he put something out... It wasn't a short film. It was like a promo to donate money to his film.
No. This is a cartoon. It's not online anywhere. This is a cartoon. So it's an animated short film where Adam Carolla invites Bryan Cranston over. And Cranston is sitting on Adam's studio couch. And he's sitting there in his underwear. And Adam's like, you know, I always see you in your underwear. Every time you're in your underwear, you're making drugs in your underwear. You've got a gun in your underwear. So it's this whole bit where he's going on. But he goes, I got an idea for a movie. And it's called Gay Eye. And in the movie Gay Eye, I guess it's a transmission mechanic, gets transmission fluid in his eye. So he has to get an eye replacement. So much like when you have open heart surgery, if you get the heart of a serial killer, you start doing serial killing shit. You know what I mean?
That's science.
Yeah. It's just this is how it's done in Hollywood. So in this case, the transmission service technician gets the oil in his eye, has to get a eye transplant by someone who's gay. Mm. So the movie goes through after he gets his transplant. He's fighting it, and he'd see a hot chick, look at her ass, and the dude, and his gay eyes would focus on the dude. There you have Gay Eye.
I get it.
A funny movie.
A lot of hijinks.
Very funny cartoon.
Yeah.
So, Gay Eye. Find it at your local theaters. Probably won't, but you have to go to adamcarolla.com and see a stand-up, and I'm sure you can see the 10-minute bit. I liked funny. It a lot. So, next on the agenda, we have a couple films coming out, which I'm looking forward to. Mariam Tazi, what's up with you? You're awfully
chilling,
huh?
I'm just here. I'm listening to you guys.
Mm. We turned the AC down in the studio.
You guys warm?
So, yeah, I'm burning up. I thought I'm going to have to hose down. Yeah, lots of hydration. And they were supposed
it's hot
to be,
today.
So, supposed to be working outside, but we avoided that because we thought they were doing construction out there. So, that's good, huh? Mm-hmm. No? No one's got nothing to say. Cool.
I thought you were like now moving along, and then you kind of veered off.
No, I'm out of subject matter for now.
Okay.
So I think we've covered everything I need to cover for today.
No games?
I'm ill prepared. I did, yes, Mariam Tazi.
You got some
correct.
Games?
I do have a game. It's called Off the Net, and it's a game, a little game I put together, but you're going to have to wait because I don't have all the questions prepared.
Oh.
It's more of a comic game where I take comments. From the here, I'll read what I wrote since Mariam brought it up.
Why you got a spot?
Oh no, it's called From the Net. What did I say? Off the Net?
Yeah,
Don't even know the name.
Don't even know the name. Good night. So
we put you on the spot.
Professional.
It's all right. Everyone who's listening to this podcast should know by now. It's called From the Net, American Riddle Game Show, where we take comments from the internet and the contestants.
Us.
That's right. The contestants. Yeah. Must answer who and what the comment is about.
We must answer. What if we don't
have to?
Well,
we'll
okay.
Try to answer.
Here, I'll pull one.
I feel since, compelled to answer.
Since I do, I've got. I only have like two questions, but I'll read.
Beta test this.
Yes, we'll try it out. So this is a. Yes, a test of From the Net. So, first question. Or should I say first comment?
Yeah, first comment.
First comment. Looks like blank was hit with a stone cold stunner, a rock bottom, and Mick Foley's filthy sock down his mouth. All in one night. So this comment was made to a headline from this week's news.
Oh. Until you said this week, I was going to say it was Mickey Rourke. Because that dude's ugly. Because he's ugly.
I'll say it again. Looks like blank was hit with a stone cold stunner, a rock bottom, and Mick Foley's filthy sock down his mouth all in one night.
Oh, Alec Baldwin.
I don't know.
Wrong.
Because he was drunk and he cursed out the cop, remember?
5 seconds, Mariam Tazi.
I don't know, man.
Are these famous people?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't ask that.
Well, you were already answering.
I know. Let's go to the board.
That's tough.
Looks like Vince McMahon
Oh, right. That's hit. That's a pretty good way to
answer,
quote it.
So the answer, Vince McMahon, WWE, yes, CEO, loses $350 million in one day as a result to stock collapse. Yep. The loss was a result to WWE's new online streaming network and TV deal. So,
oh, I read all about that. It was so dumb. He's an idiot.
Yeah. So he's
a third of his fortune he lost in one day.
He's going through some problems.
He deserved it for what he did. So,
and let's see. We'll test this second question. See if anyone gets this one. All right. So this is a long comment.
We won't explain it.
This is a long comment. So just bear with me.
Okay.
If blank has an antique view about marijuana, my question is, what other antiquated views does he hold in secret? No. Before I can vote for a possible candidate for public office in today's world, the person has to be in step with modern times and science. We were all born with free will, and at the end of the day, you can be the best parent in the world, but the choice to smoke marijuana lies with the individual, right or wrong. You simply cannot legislate that, legal or illegal.
I like that comment. That's true.
So you must guess who the comment was made about.
So it's probably a politician of some kind. Because of the way it was worded. Somebody running who wouldn't
Yeah.
But like, I know the Hillary gets down, you know.
You know, her husband did.
Yeah, think it out. Exactly. There's still time on clock.
I'm doing it. I'm doing the math verbally. It's probably a Republican, but I think a lot of Republicans will probably want to be down with weed by the time 2016. No, believe me, they will. By the time 2016 runs around.
Has this antique view about marijuana? Who has that type of view on marijuana?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would say either Joe Biden or Jeb Bush.
Sorry, Brandon, that is not the right answer.
No, I didn't think so.
Mariam Tazi.
I don't know a politician.
Do you want to take a guess?
No. I can't think of anybody that was...
It's not Eric Holder, is it?
It is not. The answer is Senator Marco Rubio.
Who cares about him?
Refusal to answer if he has ever smoked marijuana.
Well, he's Cuban and he lives in Miami, so I think he gets down.
That is from the net. So, From the Net. A game show which we, well, I may lighten them up a little bit. I actually threw the political one in there for Brandon. But just an example.
I know who he is, yeah.
So at some point, yes, I'll do easier one. Well, I'll throw you softballs, some tough ones, some, but mainly current events, celebrity gossip, celebrity news.
And your knowledge.
And then we also have Fresh or Fabulous. Coming up, we may do Fresh or Fabulous.
How do you do that one?
Fresh or Fabulous, though, I don't know how I'm going to attack it just because Fresh or Fabulous is a game show where we must guess if a picture is someone in hip-hop or a picture of someone in the gay community. So either it's Fresh, I'm in a b-boy stance, or it's Fabulous. As I do the jazz hands.
I don't know what you're doing there.
But I think it would be something for Ustream, because I don't know how I would, unless I videotape it.
Do we have a Ustream set up? Are we going to start
not
doing
yet,
it?
Right. Not yet. We've been negotiating it. We're taking it up with
Justin
the board.
Justin TV is another good setup.
Or I could always do a video of it and just do the audio.
You can go straight to YouTube nowadays, too.
Yeah, do the video on YouTube, and maybe I'll do that and then link it. And
YouTube does live streaming, though.
Then more people will do... click on American Riddle link because they're looking at Fresh or Fabulous. The only problem is I don't want to piss off too many people in the hip hop community.
You don't care about the gay community, though. That's what I heard when you said that.
I exist in the hip hop community.
You exist, okay?
But I don't believe I'd piss off anyone. You know, it's a game. It's comedy. You know.
No, I was just fucking with you.
No, I know you are. I don't want to piss anyone off, but that I think goes hand in hand in comedy.
But the
right
Jew community is kind of pissed off at you. Just to let you know.
I don't think so. I think I get along with my Jewish brothers and sisters. Maybe. You know.
Yeah.
I like to think I do with everyone of all races and creeds,
nations.
The Jews and Gentiles, and that's right. I get along with everyone. Just as long as you're not wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So that's on cool. that note, I'm going to close this out. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I appreciate it. If we gave you any spoilers as far as Godzilla, what can I say? I mean, they're probably going to have Godzilla and Godzuki on
Godzuki
the next
Godzuki for
one.
Life. I was going to say that.
That's right. It's like the next Batman. They're probably going to bring in Batmite.
Wow, call back. Good job. Yeah, nobody knows who Batmite is. Hey,
do your research, people. Google it. So, Domino, motherfucker.
We can remember swimming in December, heading for the city lights, 975. We're sharing each other, nearer than farther. Of the lemon drips from your eyes. We are the people that rule the world, bustling in every boy and girl, all rejoicing.